Oh, praise the Lord. Who's excited about the 40-day fast? Some of us. I really am. I really am. The more I pray about it, the more I read about it and think about it and whatever, the more excited I am. So I kind of addressed that a little bit this morning. How many of you know that there are other things you can do to make the House of people in Parliament do what you want them to do, other than just vote and sign a, what do they call them? Petition. How many of you know there are other things you can do from your home? Yeah, some of us know, some of you don't have a clue. There are actually quite clever things you can do. More than just writing a letter. You know, who knows you can write a letter to your MP? That's good. When back in New Zealand, and New Zealand has a similar parliamentary system to here, so it's the same system. And you know, in a younger era, Sabs and I were working with young people in a New Zealand thing, and they happened at a conference down in the capital, and they happened to say, "Anyone want to go to Parliament?" And of course, a whole bunch of us, but we'll take you in. So they took us into where the Minister of Youth Affairs, into her or his office, company was at his or her. But he or she wasn't there at that particular time, but her personal assistant was there, her PA or whatever happened to be there. So we just, you know, we had a bit of a tour around the place, and it was quite fun. But she said an interesting thing. She said, "You know, please, by all means, write to your MP, but let me give you a tip." She said, "When you write to your MP, take copies of them and send them to Prime Minister and send them to the Leader of the Opposition, a copy. Send a copy to the person in opposition who is responsible for the same thing." You know what I mean? You have the Ministry of Youth Affairs. In the opposition, there is someone who carries that, I don't know what they call it. Shadow. Oh, it is shadow. You know, that came to my thought. Shadow. Why are they a shadow? Because I've been a shadow. I don't know. But so you send a copy to that person, and you send a copy to the person who stood against you if you were a person who was, you know, in your electorate. So, main copy goes to the person. They read it. If they just get a letter and there's nothing else on it, they may think, "Haven't got time for that." Just put aside. Seriously? That's what can happen. Because they're so busy with other things. Now, that's not important enough. I don't care about the rubbish on your street that hasn't been collected in 4 years. You know, I don't care. I've got other things to worry about. You know what I mean? It's that. But when they see, oh, because what you do is you put a note at the bottom, "By the way, a copy of this letter has been sent to all these people." And suddenly, this letter has a little bit more importance. Because when there's an accountability time, someone from the opposition can get up and say, "Oh, by the way, such and such, this came out, and what have you done about it?" Then suddenly, you put an accountability on that. So they have to suddenly think, "Oh my gosh, what do I do about that?" Oh my, you with me? So actually, we can have quite a bit more power than we think we could. Isn't that a clever thing? How many of you knew that? Is that a good piece of information? If you want to get involved in it, we can do that. Isn't that cool? So we're not as powerless, and it's not as, oh, they just do what they like. No, you don't have to let them do what they like. There are ways around it. There are ways to manipulate the thing. Now, I say this thing simply because we can do the same thing, but in a different place. In a different place. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to read that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For we have been raised up to sit with Christ, to sit in Christ with him in the heavenly places." That's what it says. What heavenly places? At the end of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says something like, "For God raised him up to sit at his right hand, far above every rule, every principality, every power, and every name that's ever been named, both in this age and the age to come." Guess where we sit? With Christ in that place, far above every rule, every name, every principality, whatever it is, I've forgotten, I didn't start properly, but all of that stuff, that's where we are seated, in the heavenly places. And I hear a witness. Did you like that? Can I read that somewhere? Someone preached it. I was reading the sermon during this. Can I have a witness? I thought, oh, that's cool. I must try that. Didn't work. Never mind. That's where we sit. Yes? What on earth does that mean? It's a powerful statement. You guys put up that first slide I got you to put up. That first, right, yeah. Who's reading the book on you're all reading the book on prayer. I don't know if Pete said this in his book, but I do remember, I don't know if he said this in his book, but I've watched the videos that he teaches on the Lord's on prayer. Well worth watching. I'll send the link to you. Well worth watching. But he makes the statement. Now, all of you know this, but I just like the way he articulated it in the statement. God has designed the world, not just the world, the universe, the world to work in such a way that our human will works in partnership with his will. Got that? That's profound. Now, we've known that because we're seated with him in heavenly places. But God has designed the universe that it works by our will and partnership with his. What a crazy thing for him to do. What a crazy thing for him to do. Because what it means, put the next one up, Corey. It means nothing's automatic, necessarily. That our choices make a difference. That's what that means. Can you go back, Corey? Can you go back again? That's what it means. It makes a difference. Because that's how God has made the world. That our will, partnering with him, his will, brings about his kingdom. We make a choice, and you can see how, when you look at this, this is why the world's in a mess. Because people say, I don't, you know, in the Garden of Eden, remember the Garden of Eden, dear old, and the other garden where Jesus said, two gardens, Jesus is praying, Lord, if there's any other way, remember, I think it's in Matthew where he's in the garden before he goes to the cross. If there's any other way, Lord, let this cup pass from me. And who could blame him? Who could blame him? He knew what he was going to. Then he said, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but yours be done. You see, in a garden, there was a man who said, not your will, mine be done. And because God has designed it this way, when someone refuses to partner with God with his will, something happens. There's a consequence. Our choices always have consequences. Always. Always, 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 always. Even if we think they don't. Oh, well, it was just me by myself. Well, you don't know that it didn't do that. You can hurt people. Just people who love you get rejected. All of that kind of stuff. We just say, oh, it's just me. No, it's not. You weren't made that way. With me? Powerful stuff, isn't it? But very exciting stuff. So this is why we pray. Isaiah 9, 7 and 8. Can we check Isaiah 9, 7 and 8? Of the increase, this is about the Lord. Of course, the prophetic statement about the Lord. Can we do the first bit too, where it says, for unto us a son is born? I thought it was 7. Is that 6 or 5? We'll take off 8. got my scriptures wrong. Sorry about that. It was my fault. Those are how good my... Look at this passage. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. It's about the Lord, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with righteousness and with justice. With justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Where is the government? The real government. Jesus has it. That the real government of the world is in his hands. Of his government, there will be no end. There will be no end. Who do we sit with? Jesus. Who sits in the seat of government? You and I do. I don't know. I don't know what how you respond to that. That's incredible. Ultimate government and authority belongs to Jesus, not to Westminster, not to Beijing, not to the White House or any other place. It's Jesus. These guys and people just come and go, but his rules forever. Of the increase of his government, of justice and peace, there will be no end. And you and I get to be a part of it. We get to partner with what he's doing. That's why we have to pray. That's where it starts. God's inviting us. Well, he's already raised us up to sit with him in Christ in the heavenly places. Remember, heaven is not some place gazillion miles away. Isn't it? It's around us all the time. What I've forgotten the word I use, but anyway, it's not. He is around us all the time. Heaven is, what's the word I'm after? One word. No, imminent. No, that doesn't matter. Isn't it terrible? I'm tired. You see the names that I was saying this yesterday when I'm practicing. It's gone. Never mind. It's dimensional. The kingdom of God is dimensional, not geographic. That makes sense? It just happens to, like, time is a dimension. The spirit realm is a dimension. It's around us all the time. Heaven is around us all the time. God did not make the heavens way out there and lift there and left earth by itself. He's here, right now. That must be dimensional. And heaven and his rule must be, or the seat of authority is around it. Do we have to understand it? No, I don't get it. It's too hard for my brain to get, but I know it. And we are called to be there to say, come. He says, come, we're going to rule the world. We're going to change the world. How? Into his kingdom. So I want to have a quick look. Try and have a quick look. Might be a bit of a, I might have to just crash land this message. So let's turn to 2 Chronicles. I've put 7 Chronicles 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Let's read through this verse. Thus Solomon finished that. You'll all know this verse. It's well known. Very well known. Well, you'll know verse something or other. 14, that's the one. Thus, but this is just giving a bit of context. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. Okay, you know this is straight after that Solomon built his temple, that amazing big temple that he built. This was straight after it. And they had a week-long celebration and whoop, whoop, had a great time. And all that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. God has chosen this place for myself, the house of sacrifice. Right, let's go to the next one. When I set up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, I won't dwell too much, or that's a whole other sermon to talk about that bit, other than stuff happens. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their lands. Verse 15, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Are they cool verses? Well, perhaps not so much for the repenting of the sin and the destruction and all that, but you know, that's not so great. Just life. So my aim is to try and put this into it. This is Old Testament, remember, it's an Old Testament, it's about a building. New Testament, the building is human being. God doesn't dwell in a place made of stone or wood. He dwells in the hearts of human beings, because that's what he wanted, because we partner with him. He doesn't partner with a building. He's going to fall to dust one day. He partners with the people who are in it. Love that. Oh, it's gone. He loves that. I love that last line. I will. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Isn't that cool? I will be attentive. I will listen to these prayers. I will do what you tell me to do. That's nutty, Lord. You rule it. Yeah, well, you know, it's partnership. I happen to be saying, but it's a partnership. So let's crack into this. Let's have a go with this and see how we get on. If my people who are called by my name, that was the first line in that, you can take that off, Corey. All right. I'm just going to break that into. If my people who are called by my name. Who are God's people? Who are God's people? We are. Yes? Can we define that? Who are called by my name. Here he is, he's saying, if my people, who are my people? My people are the ones called by my name. What does it mean to be called by the name of Jesus? By the name of God? What does that mean? Interesting, isn't it? You see, when you and I become Christians, when we surrender our hearts to the Lord, something happens. The Spirit of God comes into our hearts, and there are two things, two major revelations that we discover. One, Jesus is Lord. Jesus died on a cross and rose again from the dead. We know because we know because we know because the Spirit of God reveals it to us. We know it's something. And we know Jesus is the name, like those songs that we sang. Jesus is the name above every name. The most beautiful name there is. That wasn't the song, but that other song. The most powerful. All those things. We know this. Why? Because the Spirit of God showed it to us. It's something that's personal. It's experiential. It's real to us. It's more than just an idea in our heads. Yes? That's how you know you're a Christian. That's how you know you're saved, because you know that. I mean, you can work that, if you get the Bible and you just look at it in a textbook and you can work it, oh yes, I can see by mere comprehension of this word that those people who, you know, that's what it means, because it says that. But if you don't believe it, waste the time. Who cares? Well, you can have atheist theologians teaching in Bible school. Seriously, I've seen it. It's in New Zealand in our theological thing. An atheist professor teaching Old Testament. Is that ridiculous or what? But that's why you can have it, because all they're doing is reading what the Bible tells you. They don't believe it. Point. But a Christian's one whom the Spirit of God, and the second thing also, is out of their heart will cry, Abba, Father. You will know, because you know that God, the God of the universe, is our Father. And we know it, not just the thought in our head, because it's something that we know in our hearts. Can't explain it, but we know it in our heart. What happens when we get saved, when we surrender our hearts to the Lord? That, if you like, a transaction, I know that word transaction, but that encounter happens. To a greater or lesser degree. And all that happens in our Christian life is that we grow in the knowledge of understanding of who this Jesus is and who our Father is. That's the Christian life. Paul prays that you may grow and increase in understanding and wisdom of who he is. So who are those people who are called by his name? Those who own the name for themselves. Those who own the name of Jesus. I know. Look, Jesus is mine. I own him. And the cool thing is, it isn't just that. I own the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus owns me. Make sense? I own the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus owns me. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. That name owns me, and I own that name. Amen? Oh. That's who God's talking to in this passage. Who it is. If you're one of those people, you're in. If you're not quite in, you're welcome. Come, there's no door stopping you. No door stopping you. Step through, it's open. Hallelujah. And by having that, and by owning that name, and that name owning us, we are seated in those heavenly places above all rule, principality, power, names that will be known back in this age and the age to come. That's where we're seated, in the heavenly realm, all around us, the Spirit. It's mind-blowing when you stop and think about it. Absolutely mind-blowing. All right, next one. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Will humble themselves. Oh, you know, he's going to humble me. I am just a worm of the vine. I love what C.S. Lewis said about humility. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. The true humbling of yourself is not saying, oh, I'm just a piece of dirt. Oh, I'm just a nobody. I'm just a... No, you're not a nobody. God doesn't make nobodies. Think of the opposite of humility. What is the opposite of humility? Pride and arrogance. And when we're having our arrogant moments and our moments when we're full of pride, who's the attention on? Oh, didn't I preach such a good sermon last week? You should have been so blessed by it. It was wonderful. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, I'll do another one sometime for you. You know what I mean? Who's the attention on? Me. That's why God hates it. It's the one sin he hates violently. Arrogance and pride. Hates it. Because it's all about me. And anything about me is not love. God made us for love. To love a neighbor, to love people, to love those who are hurting, and to love him. Love doesn't think about ourselves, think about me, it thinks about him. It's not thinking less of ourselves, it's thinking about ourselves less. Like the guy who goes and scores, you know, like, well, this is for the blokes who like footy or something, or whatever. You know, scores a goal, kicks a goal in the net, and actually, do you know what annoys me? These guys go running off and, oh yes, look at me! Rubbish! The ball was passed to you by someone else and the rest of the team got involved. Real humility is someone said, wasn't that a great goal? He said, well, you know, I couldn't have done it without my team. They got the ball, you know, I just played my part. It's my team that was the best. We're a good team. It's not about me. It's about them. That's humility. You with me? So if my people who are called back will humble themselves, just let go of all arrogance. Let it out. Say, Lord, my God, be pride in me, and he'll show it. I reckon it's one of the fastest prayers you'll ever get answered. Lord, is there any arrogance in me? Well, actually, I'm glad you asked, Ian. You know, well, it is one of the fastest prayers you'll get answered. You know, my other prayers seem to take a while, but that one comes like an arrow. Oh, don't pray it. I don't mean that. We will humble himself. That's all it is. Why do we want to humble ourselves? Because the next thing is because we want to seek his faith. There's a process to it. Called by my name, this is who you are. I'm a person owned by the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is over me, and I own the name of Jesus. That's who I am. That's who we are. And we want to humble myself. Why? Because I want to seek his faith. Because I partner with him. I'm his partner. So I've got to get with him. We will humble ourselves and seek his faith. That's what the scripture says. To seek his faith. Come closely and intimately. Now the interesting thing when I did, those of you who read the little thing that I sent out on our 40-day fast, I think it came out Friday. Did anyone manage to read that I sent out? And then, yeah, a whole lot of people read it. It's wonderful. Sorry. In that letter, in that little note, did I say this? I said, yes, when I was looking through the meaning, and I didn't, why 40 days? I thought I'd have a look at 40 days, and there's all sorts of meanings of the words, and some of them are really good, but some I thought doesn't really fit that. So you know, there's actually a lot of different contexts and situations. For instance, 40 days, the spies went into the, you know, in the back when the people were set free, people go out, it was 40 days the spies went into the promised land. Now that should have been a time, 40 days. Whoa, we're getting a roaring in. It wasn't judgment, it wasn't anything, it was just, come on, 40 days going to go in there, it's going to be, and they came out, and what happened, because they didn't believe, was 40 years walking in the world. Well, you went 40 days, you'll get this. Shouldn't have been that, should have been a victory at the end of that 40 days. That 40 days in there wasn't a judgment. The other thing was, that wasn't. That's kind of, you know, there's different contexts. Anyway, just two people fasted and prayed, record in the Bible. Two most significant people on the face of the earth. Moses and the Lord Jesus. Now other people fasted, but they weren't praying. Those two prayed and fasted. 40 days. 40 days. Guess where they went? One went up to a mountain. Top of a mountain. Jesus went out into the wilderness. Or a desolate place. The desert, some call the desert, but I read the different translations of it meant more desolate. What's the similarity? There's not usually a Costa coffee at the top of a mountain.
Pardon?
Isolation, exactly. There's not usually Wi-Fi stuck out in a desolate place. You know, the phone won't work out here. Follow what I mean? So why did the Lord go there? Because he wanted to be, get away from the distractions of our human existence and connect with the one who is everywhere. If you go out there where there's nothing that can support you as a, you know, in your human, like that's why we fast actually. Because we take a thing and said, this thing might rule my life. Food rules my life. I have to eat. Actually, I'm going to give it a miss for it because I want to connect with the one who truly sustains me. That's why we fast. Well, it's one of the reasons, not the only reason, but that's one thing. So that we can go into a desolate place or a place where our human thing that keeps us here doesn't let it go for a moment, let it go for a time, so that we can connect with the one who calls us. Come up here. Come and meet me where your humanness can't get in the way. Seek my face. Come and seek my face. Come and be closer. Come and be closer. Come and hear what I have to say. Come and hear my voice. You can only hear the voice of the Lord when the distractions are put aside. Yes? Just looking at the anointed people around you, just saying, just make sure I'm saying the right thing here. I am, thankfully. You know, you can't hear the voice if you're letting distraction get in the way. You can't. You just can't. Sometimes the Lord will use a megaphone and break through because he needs to, because you're an idiot the way you're going. I'm aware it. You know what I mean? I'm talking. That's me, really. But anyway. You can't hear the voice of the Lord unless you get the way. That voice says, come and seek my face. Come and seek my face. There's that wonderful passage in Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may seek the Lord in his temple, I may dwell in his temple. I'll just say it when I usually say it. I've made it into New Testament context. One thing I ask, this is what I seek, that I may daily live in the presence of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek his face. It's three things. To be in his presence, to gaze on his beauty, and to seek his face. That means to seek, to inquire, to ask him, Lord, what are you saying? To listen to his voice. That's the thing. David said, this is all I ask. I may live in the presence of the Lord. I may be in his temple. Because that's for him, that's where the presence of the Lord was in the temple. David wanted to be in the presence of God and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. He just wanted to go and sit there and gaze. God, you're amazing. You're amazing. Read the book, let him meditate on his creation, meditate on who he is, meditate on this, and gaze upon the beauty of it. All David wanted to do, and inquire, Lord, speak to me. You know more about things than I do. Speak to me. That's humility. That's seeking the face of God. That's what he wants. That wasn't David. But that's what we do when we pray. Don't rush this. Please, I encourage you, don't rush this. If you've got half an hour to pray, spend 20 minutes just doing that, but when you do, and when you start praying, God will come. With me? Just encourage you to do that. Where are we going here? So we hear his voice and do what he's saying. And then it says the confession of our sin. I don't want to make a big deal about that. Because honestly, if you were walking with the Lord, owning his name and his name owns you, when you and I do something wrong or say something wrong, we pretty much know it straight away. Yes? Wave at me if this is give me a witness on this. Sorry. I can't, just get, hope I never do that again. But you know. But the other thing you also know is the blood of Jesus has already covered it. So we don't have to dwell upon it. We just say, oops, Lord, I stuffed up. Forgive me. Get up and get going. Because I know it's thank you for your precious blood that makes me clean. That's made me pure. I leave it behind and we're off. I've often had people, and usually people, the number of times I've sat with people just and they've been struggling and I said, okay, let's just pray for me. we pray. I said, you've got your focus on. He said, okay, Lord, show us if there's any sin that this young person wants needs to repent of, or the youth minister, this young person needs to repent of. He said, ask them. You pray that. And I say, did he show you anything? No, he didn't. I said, no, of course he didn't. Because he deals with things as we're going. Now, there may be things, I'm not saying there won't be. And more than likely, it will be arrogant. More than likely, that'll be what it is. But if you pray, it'll be one of the fastest prayers you go, Lord, is there anything I need to let go? Is there anything that I've said anything wrong? I've done something that, or have I not done something? That might be one. And as Mary reminded me just recently, probably one of the things, if there's anything we need to repent of, is that we've not stopped and meditated and thought about and rejoiced in this amazing love that he has for us. He wants us to seek his face. You know, Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians, at one of the chapters, I don't know, 2 or 3, it says, for we are transformed, as we gaze upon the Lord, we are transformed from glory to glory. It's not gazing at ourselves. Please don't go navel gazing. Trust the Lord. If you go digging for something, you'll find it. You know, fine, whatever. It's covered by the blood. You know, we're not supposed to, you know, who's to focus on if we're navel gazing? Wrong person. You with me? God can deal with all those stuff. And you say, and you just ask him, Lord, if there's really something I need to sort out, show me. And he will. Trust me, he will. He normally doesn't want to do that, though. Normally he wants to show you something about himself. And that something about himself lifts us out of our navel and takes us into his presence. That's how he works. Well, my experience it is. And I read the scripture, seems to be. We get it all wrong. Oh no, I've got to gaze at my sins and go, there must be something wrong. Sometimes you hear people go on and on about their sins and think, who are you trying to impress? I'm not interested. You know, confessing their sins all the time. I think, oh please. You know, why are you doing that? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Yeah? Well, just ask the Lord if there's anything. I'm here to hear your voice. Yeah, he's the final thing. When we're in that place and we hear the voice of the Lord, whatever it is that comes, pray about it. Pray it. The scripture comes, pray the scripture. If nothing comes, grab a scripture and pray that scripture. You know, it's the word of God. You can pray the word of God. The right one. You know, oh Lord, bring fire down on Sodom. You know, you probably don't want to pray those ones. You know what I mean? Wrong spirit. You know what I mean? So you're not stuck. Well, I don't think I heard the Lord. Well, you've got the word of God. Grab some promises out of it and take mine to pray. And the Lord has committed to hearing our voice because he partners. He's committed to hearing our prayers and acting on them. Made that commitment. You know, you don't have to read the Bible much to see that. Read John 14, 15, 16. It's there. You come, ask whatever you want in my name. I'll do it for you. Sometimes there's a bit of perseverance needed. Sometimes we have to keep going. Sometimes it's not automatic. Why? Because while we are in partnership with the Lord. Not everyone is in partnership with him. A lot of the people are in partnership with other things. So there is resistance sometimes to our prayers. It doesn't always come automatically. You have to keep on going. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Don't give up. Anyway, I'm excited about 40 day. I've never actually done a 40 day fast. Who's done more than a day's fast and praying? Look at these anointed people. Who's done more than a 3 day prayer and fast? Who's done more than a week of prayer and praying? I'm keeping my hand down here. There's one of us. Who's done a 10 day? 21 day? All right, okay, that's fine. Just wondering. I think I did a 10-day one once. Actually, well, the funny thing that I discovered that after the first 3 days, it's real easy, isn't it? Apparently, and then I read the books, and the books say just get through the first 3 days and you're fine. I've done a lot of 3 days and hated them. I probably should have kept persevering. Just go on for the weekend, you'll be fine the other four. Anyway. The Lord invites us to partner with him in the heavenly country. We sit in the place of the greatest authority in the world. Far above all rule, principality, power, and name, it's every name, it's age, and the age to come. And do you know the cool thing that happened when Moses and Jesus prayed? Moses, as at the end of that 40 days, he had the Ten Commandments and the covenant that defined the people of God. Not only defined who the people were God, people of God who, and that it foreshadowed the coming of Messiah. Most powerful piece of documentation ever to come on the face of the earth because of 40 days on a mountain. Wow. Jesus, it was 40 days, and it said, and of course, he was led by the Spirit of God. He was called. You know, Moses was called by God, come up here. Lord was led by the Holy Spirit out of the desert. He was going to his first, this is the interesting thing, he was going to the first time he had been, I don't know this for sure, but it's the first time he had to go away from his earthly existence. You know, he was with mum and he was with his brothers, everything like that, presumably up until that time. Here he was called to go out to the desert place, away from everything. It says the devil came and tempted him. Like some seem to imply it every day or whatever. But here was the Lord finally coming up against the one whom he had come to destroy. Because the Lord, you all know the story, the Lord just stood and knowing who he was, you see, it was an attack on, he knew he was the Son of God. He knew who he was. He knew his authority. The devil came to him and saying, you know, you think, you know, jump off this building and I'll look after you. And the Lord's going, why would I want to do that? You're an idiot. Why would I want to do that? This is just stupid. He didn't say that, but I think that's what's going on in his mind. He said, don't tempt the Lord. You know what I mean? All those kind of things. He said, if you make bread. He said, I'm not here to make bread. I'm here to seek my Father. You know what I mean? It was, he was confronted with that. And it was just, and so, but at the end of that time, he still would have met with the Lord because he used the scriptures. The scriptures were going on as the word of God was going on. He was the word of God. It was all there. And this is the time when it all came to the forefront. Hey, devil, want to take me on? I've got some ammunition for you. You want to be an idiot and take me on? He was an idiot. Took him on. He didn't get anywhere. But of course, at the very end of that time, he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And for 3.5 years, miracles, signs, wonders, people's transformed, and also the crucifixion and resurrection. The most life-changing time in the whole of human existence happened at the end of that 40-day prayer. We're going to do one. Not to the level extent that we are. You can feel free. If anyone wants to go for the whole 40 days of prayer and fast, go for it. I'm more than happy for you to do it. I'm not going to do it. Like an idiot, I've said, I'm going to fast my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm regretting it now, but never mind. I've opened the big trap. I'm going to have a crack at it. It's a long time since I've fasted that much. So I'm not doing it for 40 days. It's 5 of them. I don't know if I'll fast something. The rest of it, we'll see what the Lord knows. I'm having a go at that. I want to encourage you. But what's exciting me is that for that 40 days, one or two or three of us are going to be covering and praying during that time. We're going to be fasting. So for 40 days, the life of this church, what God wants to do for us, will be there. So we come and seek that because we're seeking the Lord. Say, Lord, we want to see your face. We want to receive a revelation. We want to know who you are. We want to hear your voice. And we want to do what you want us to do. But we're coming in prayer. Tell me what to pray for. Tell me what to do. And then do it. And we'll put them all on our Facebook, you know, group and post it up there. Take some video. If you're in a group, you take a video of your prayer and you'll do it. You know, like when you're PEP people, none of you get the camera. Here we are, all praying. And post it on the Facebook. That'd be fun. Oh, wow, look at that. If you get a word, write it out. Post it on the phone. Tell people what we've prayed for. You with me? All right. Let me pray a couple of scriptures over us. What we're doing now, we're going to share. 1 o'clock, there's an announcement for you. I'm going to pray two scriptures. I'll just keep them out ready to... Oh, no, don't do that. Where are you going? I'm here. I'm here this thing. That one? That'll get me. I'll go for this one. All right. partly because they're good scriptures to pray over us, and just a good way of using the scripture to pray. This is the end of my sermon, just in case I'm not crashing. Pray. So if you want to pray, or just close your eyes, or stand, or whatever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that we are seated with you in heavenly places. We get to share with you and what in your purpose is on you. You choose to work in partnership with us. You choose to say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So, Lord, we bow our knees before you, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of your glory, that you will grant us to be strengthened with power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that Jesus Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in the love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the height, the breadth, the length, and the depth, and to know the love of Jesus that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is what the Lord says. The Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. Lord, you've said you are Yahweh. You have called us in righteousness. You will take us by the hand and you will give us as a covenant for the people. And you will keep us and you will give us as a covenant for the people and a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. For behold, Lord, you've said the former things have come to pass, and new things you now declare. Before they spring forth, you tell us of them. And so, Lord, we pray, bring those things to pass. In Jesus' name, before us, in our midst, in the name of Jesus, and that he gets all the glory. Amen. Amen.